Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
Crossroad broadcast. Today we have a special
topic that we're going to discuss today, which is family problems. We're going to explore, we're going to see what God is saying through the Word of God about family problems. And then we're going to talk about the effects of family problems and preventing family problems. We first would like to introduce to you the panel for the Breakthrough Broadcast. They are as following. They are Dr. Jean Normill, Dr. Gloria Pastor, Dr. Rosemary Lucio, and myself, Dr. Mary McCoy. And we want you to call a neighbor, call a friend, tell them that the Crossroad Broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you. We magnify your name. God, we thank you for the great and for the mighty things, God, that you have done. Great and mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. God, we thank you, Lord God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, that word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Father, today on this broadcast, God, why? Horizon. Bless the people. God, those that are having issues, Father, in their family. God, those that find it difficult, God, to get along with their family members, be it the husband, the children. Lord, I ask you even now, God, to move, Father God, upon this broadcast into each home, Father God, every son, every daughter, every husband, and every wife. Lord, we restore, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that which you have given from the beginning, ask you, God, to bless them, not even right now. And, Father, we just thank you, and, Father, we praise you for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. Today we thank you, God, because you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. You are the true and the living God. We proclaim today, God, that you have all power in your hand. Yes, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So, God, today we ask more of your anointing, your power, your spirit. We ask thee for deeper revelation for your people. God, that they will be inspired. God, that they'll go to that next level. God, that they will stay, Father God, in the same mindset that they are in today, but Lord, that their mind will be enriched, God, that their heart, Father God, will be touched today. Only you, God, can do that. And for this, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We just want to welcome our broadcasting radio station to this broadcast today. We just want to thank God for you being a part of the Crossroad Broadcast. And indeed, it's an honor and it's a blessing to have you to tune in once again to hear what God is saying. We are professional Christian counselors who specialize in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse, and neglect. So today, as every Monday that we're here on the broadcast, we're talking about things that pertain to you, things that are going to help you, things that are going to help someone else that they can go forward in the things of God. So today, we're going to begin with our first topic, which is the Bible and family problems. Don't forget, we are talking about problems in the family. I realize today that there are many families out there that have few issues, that some are not going through some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. But God, I believe, want you to know more so that you'll be able to help somebody else, and that somebody that's going through these things in their life, we want to know what the Word of God says about it. So when we began to talk about a family is a social group, typically consisting of one or two people, which include the parent and the children. And so their goals and their values, they are values that are long-term values. Their commitment, they are long-term. It's a group of individuals living under the same roof, and usually it has one head that is leading that family. And when we think about family problems, you may say, Dr. McCoy, what can cause family problems? What does it consist of? There are all kinds of problems that happen in families. And if you have problems in your family, don't think that you are alone. But there are things, according to the Word of God, that when we commit ourselves unto Him, that God will give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding how to be a good father, how to be a good mother, how to be good children, and how to be a vessel for His honor and for His glory. When we're talking about problems in the family, we're talking about sometimes, as I said, there are many problems. And some problems you may that happen in the family and cause problems is a problem of abortion, problem of having even a discipline could be a number two. Sometimes it could be homosexuality. Sometimes it can be fear and anxiety. It can cause sometimes the family is going through issues in their life, and sometimes you find that they're worrying and they're strife for one reason or another, and that's in the family, and sometimes alienation. So what I'm saying to you today, there is all kinds of problems that is in the family. But then we want to look at the Word of God, and we want to just to bring to the forefront here today and to bring into play. And I want to talk about just a little bit about this 16-year-old. Chris was 16 years old, and she was celebrating her birthday, but no one gave her a party. Have you ever been at the age and you were 16 years old, nobody actually thought to give you a birthday party? It may be various reasons why you did not have one, but when the family could have had one and didn't have one for whatever reason, that can cause a problem in the family. You know how it is sometimes. They say the sweet 16. Well, a lot of times when a child, a young person turns their age, they are looking for everybody to respond or show some affection, show some love, show some joy into that day. But that person turning 16. So Chris was turning 16 years old, but no one gave her a party. And her mother did give her a present, but she didn't want to have a birthday party. And she had a reason. I'm not saying it was a good reason, because I really sometimes parents don't think the way that maybe God would dictate to them to think of, or whatever reason. But she thought, because of that, if she had the party, it would, she didn't want to disrupt things, and she didn't want her home to be disrupted by a lot of teenagers. And in a way, she was kind of thinking of herself. You know, sometimes we need to really examine ourselves as to why we do certain things. She didn't want to have it because she thought that they were going to mess up her home. You know, sometimes our home is so beautiful that it don't even seem like home because of the fact that we make it like our castle. We make it like nobody can sit in a certain chair. Nobody can eat at a certain table because you're going to get it all messed up. But here we find that this young person, she knew the reason why her mother didn't want her to have a party, that her friends, the ones that she associated, she was afraid that they were going to mess up her home, to mess up the house. And then when we look at the father, he was away from home. As a matter of fact, he was like, seemed like he was always away from home. Many times his job had taken him away from home. But he did not fail to call her to wish her a happy birthday at that time. In order to, but he was not there because of many times he was too busy at the office to get away in order to celebrate with her. And I just want to take some time just to say this, that, you know, sometimes within our environment, in the ones that we say that we love, we ought to show our love. Many times we can get young people doing things that we need them to do if we seem to care and we show love and affection. We're concerned about what they're doing, what's going on in their life, if we can show some concern. And that was something that most likely she may have been looking for all the year, knowing that I'm going to turn 16 years old. But the dad wasn't there. Mother didn't want the house messed up because of her friends. And then she had another daughter. And this is all in the family. We're talking about the family. And then we look at the family, and we see that the next daughter, whose name is Sherry, she was 12 years old, and she didn't even like her family. What is it that's happening in a family when the children don't like each other, when the parents don't get along well with each other? We read what a family should be, what a family should consist of. When we began this broadcast, we were talking about a family consists of two or more people who share the same goals and values and have long time commitment. Here we see that this young girl didn't really like a family when she seen the opportunity not to stay at home, maybe she stayed at night, or her parents may let her sleep over somewhere else, but she wanted to be away from home as much as possible. And then they had this third daughter. The third daughter's name was Cindy. And Cindy was another, was Chris' sister, who was 23 years old. She was older than the rest of them. But she was not in the mood. You ever seen somebody not in the mood? Not in the mood to celebrate something that you are happy about and looking forward to. And they're not celebrating. They don't have the interest or the care or the concern that you may have. So this 23-year-old daughter named Cindy, she was not in the mood to celebrate Chris' birthday. You know why? It was because Cindy had, she was married. She had three kind of rocky years in her life of misery, of her mate beating on her. We talk about that in some of our broadcasts. You know, we talk about domestic violence. But this, her mate, she had problems with her mate beating on her. And so she had recently got a divorce, and she was trying to get her life back together. But you have to look, focus on the real, on each other. We need to focus not so much on what is going on with me in my life, it is what is going on with somebody else. And so I believe that that's so important that we need to release that me attitude and try to see what's going on with others, be it the parents or the children or whatever it may be. So all of Chris' family, and this is one of the things that that really kind of touched me, but they all were Christians. And Chris' family, they went to Sunday morning service. They went to service to hear the word of God. It may be two or three of them. They was in church. But when I was looking at this, Chris' family, they never sit together. Have you ever seen this happen? I'm not quite sure you can say yes. You got one person in the back, one on the front, one on the side. So that means that where is that togetherness? And we experienced that when we were growing up, that we, most of us that was growing up in the family years and years and years ago, that, you know, you sat together as a parent because most of the time your parents had the family, you all sit together. But now you see days that we're living in that there is not that closeness, and there is not that relationship of that closeness that you should have one with another. So you got these people, they're sitting, not sitting together. They come in a different car. They're not coming together. We have to try to do things in order to bring families together and do things together. A Chris family is where nobody sleeps in the same, you know, they all slept in the same house, but they're, each person, they live. They live a life that was largely independent of others. And you find that today where people are in the same house, but they're live, one going one way, and they have different friends, different interests. You know, they eat at different times. You know, there was a time when the family come together and they ate at the same table. When the parents say the dinner was done, everybody came at the same table at the same time, because it's like you knew that if you're going to eat, you're going to be there at that same time. So here they were kind of independent of each other. The family never ate together. Even at Thanksgiving, Christmas, it was rare to find five family members in the house at the same time. Chris' mother, she kept the family together. But she had this kind of opinionated attitude, a personality, which was kind of difficult to resist. We find that she... it probably explained why her husband was gone so much. Because he didn't want to probably be there. You know, a person that's domineering, a person that, you know, everything has to be their way, and it's either your way, somebody said the highway is your way, and you don't want to hear it with anybody else. That's something that we need to check ourselves. Because as a family, be it you the father or the mother, the father is the head of, usually the head of the home if a father is in there. So therefore, the father is supposed to be the leader of that home. So many times a family, they listen what the father is saying, especially if the family, if the father is saved. But when you find a person that's going to tell everybody what to do, and if you don't do it this way, it's going to be trouble. And it seems like this person, the mother, Chris' mother, was that type of person. So they did things just to keep everybody happy. Have you ever seen anybody like that? Just did things just to do it in order to keep somebody happy. But when we look at him not being home, not wanting to be home, not wanting to be with his family, that's a sad condition. Chris looked at the times when she would be 18 years old and able to leave home to attend college. Sometimes we tend to ignore a family, or we see it as a frequent to a disruptive influence in the lives of the people with whom we work. Sometimes we are influenced by the media, by reports. It is easy to conclude that families today are not often characterized in the manner that we thought that it should be a family. And it is characterized by conflict, verbal abuse and physical abuse, incest, infidelity, crisis, selfishness, individuality, and insensitivity, and instability. But there was a, that was a study done, and this woman named was Dolores Corrett, and she challenged the conclusion that, and that's what I want you to know today, that it's not always everybody or every family that are not getting along in their family. They are problems. And some of the things that we had mentioned before, that is not always in every family, but it does exist. And because it exists, we have to address it. So when we began to look at a healthy family, I'm going to just talk about that just a little bit, and then we're going to go to our next speaker, and then some things we're going to have to come back on next week. Oh, how time goes by. But we want to know, want to think about what is a healthy family. A healthy family is one that communicates and listens. And you may cannot remember all of this, but if you have some paper and a pen, why don't you jot it down? And then we'll try to go over some of this on next week. But a healthy family is one that communicates and listens, affirms and supports one another, teaches respect for others, develop a sense of trust, have a sense of play and humor, exhibit a sense of shared responsibility, teaches a sense of right and wrong, has a strong sense of family in which rituals and traditions are abound, have a balance of interaction among members of a family, and also has a shared religious core, respect the privacy of one another, value service to others, and also foster family table time and conversation. The last two I want to let you know is the shared leisure time and admit to and seek help with problems. You know, it is so many things that God has given us, so many things that even the Word of God tells us about family problems. And I want to let you know, because we said we were going to talk about, you know, what the Bible says, but just to let you know, family problems are mentioned in the Bible, and we can see examples of family tension. First, family was Adam and Eve. They had tension in their family. Their family was disrupted by murder when Cain killed his brother. Abraham had a family problem when his wife, Sarah, had continued conflict with Hagar, a maidservant, and her son, Ishmael, whom Abraham had fathered. We can go into that. We could talk about that. But you know what? We don't have time today to get really into this. But on next Monday, we're going to go and we're going to start off where we left off and just bring you up to date, and so that we can get what God would have for you to have throughout these sessions. So at this time, we're getting ready to go to the effects of family problems, the effects. So you already heard some of the things that I've discussed, but we're going to talk about the effects of family problems. And we're going to go to Dr. June Normeal, and we would like to welcome her to the Crossroads broadcast. Dr. Normeal.
Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Giving God all the honor for allowing me to come before you again, and speaking to your live radio land, to radio panel, and to Dr. Mary McCoy. God bless you. My topic today is the effects of family problems, the effects of family problems. And about 2,300 years ago, a Greek philosopher by the name of Plato, he suggested that newborn children communicate with their caregivers by crying and screaming. And until this day now, what we're probably living in, that is accepted and is being used for as a benefit. And it's being used as a benefit, saying that is agreeable how children, newborn babies, communicate. But another thing also now, as we as being adults and young children, when we have problems, we sometimes go to counseling, and we've been noticed and diagnosed with different attitudes and personalities about what could be the problem. And on the note saying that, it all turns out to be that we all communicate. We all have problems in different areas, and it just comes out in different ways. So I'm going to be talking about two types of families today. I'm going to talk about the dysfunctional families and a healthy family. And one thing about both of those families is they all both have one thing in common, and that is, I guess you could guess, it's problems. Now, we must realize that, you know, no family, no one family is exempt from having problems. We all have problems, whether you a Christian family, whether you're not Christian. Every family have problems. But sometimes we as people, we pattern our family lives in the way we want it to be by what's been shown in society as on TV. I myself, I must say, has been guilty of that aspect one time in my life. We look at shows like The Cleavers. We look at the Brady Bunch. We look at the Huxtables. And sometimes you might say, ooh, I wish that was my parents. I love the way Claire and Cliff, they treat their family. Oh, I wish my sister and brother was like the Brady Bunch. They get along so good. And every time they have a problem, they know just how to solve them. But we must realize that that's just a TV show. And it's just showing that things happen and turn out good in 30 minutes. And in real life, things don't always just happen like that. So we have this come to reality where we're yet living and knowing that even those cast who played those parts in their real life family, they also address and have to deal with family problems. So we'll start with different things that affect the family when people have, you have family problems. And like I say, everybody has them. And what all could come out of family problems? A lot of negative things come out having problems. One thing you could have is family instability. When you can have a family that's always moving, there's no stability, they're here, they're there, they're everywhere, it affects the whole family. It has bad effects on children's behavior. And you wonder why sometimes why children act the way they do. They have no stability because it starts off in the home. Study shows that children who go through frequent transitions are most likely to have behavior problems than children that are raised in stable families with two parents, and even a single-parent family. So you can notice that, take notice of that, the family always moving, always unstable, and it's hard for the children to get a solid foundation because they have to try to adjust and with different environments, with different settings, before they could get acquainted. But one thing is time to uproot and go somewhere else. That's one of the effects that they could have on family problems. And then another thing that it could cause family problems is gambling. Gambling is another thing that causes effects on family problems. Because, you know, most people with gambling problems, they slowly lose control of how much time and money that they spend gambling. Before you know it, they could get paid. They don't even think, they don't have the mind, the right insight to make good decisions to pay bills. Not even anything, and more or less if they are Christians, to pay their tithe. And don't put these gambling anyway, but I'm just being real with reality, what people are dealing with, Christians and non-Christians, they have a problem with gambling. They spend up all their money. They focus on gambling and ignore all the other responsibilities and the harm that their gambling causes. They're not even aware of what's going on about the bills not being paid because that's an addiction. People may not think, even going up for getting lottery tickets, playing bingo. You got people go playing bingo. That's gambling. You sit there all day and all night when you're playing for money and losing the money to get to the fact that you're not even there consistently paying bills at home and taking care of home like you should be. That's a bad aspect that affects the family also. And not only that, we come to another effect is alcoholism. And that's a demon that it affects anybody. At any age, nobody it can be exempt from that. There's no saying you have to be 21, a legal age to drink or to use alcohol. You have children 5 years old, 3 years old, their parents giving them alcohol and everything. Alcohol, that's a very bad spirit. Alcohol, it could be at any age, you know, any background, any income level. One thing about alcohol, it can totally disrupt the family life. It causes harmful effects for a lifetime. You can have something alcohol that do, and it'll cause a whole family problem forever, because what has been planted, that seed, even children have been grown and raised inside a home with alcoholic parents, and some of them tend to come up to be have emotional problems. Even their insight, their intellect, their cognitive thinking is not even appropriate to affect them by seeing what comes behind the alcohol, as far as it could be abuse, physical abuse. They see verbal abuse, you know, with the parents, even all the children themselves. And it caused them, you know, not to be able to function right. And they say parental alcoholism affects normal children of alcoholics. And you got people, even people who's in the stage of prenatal care, carrying a child, they use alcohol, how it affects that child as a fetus. And when that child has been born, it comes out with different disabilities and effects that has encountered from that parent by them just being alcoholic, being an alcoholic. So alcoholism is very bad. It's one of the effects that could cause family problems. And it could go on from generation. And it don't have to be, but a lot of times it does that. That's why we as Christians have to stand in the gap, and we have to believe the word of God. We just have to speak deliverance, and we have to just hold on to what the word of God says concerning these unhealthy attributes that come on with the family having family problems. And then they got many children have common symptoms such as low self-esteem, loneliness, guilt, abandonment, and chronic depression. But even though these symptoms and things happen, we don't have to settle for that. We have to stand in the gap, because every person that came from an alcoholic family or a family of abuse or addicts or people being alcoholic, every child don't end up like that. God has intervened in that child's life, and they come out to be something positive. So it ain't always have to be like that. But I'm just saying some of the effects that happen with family problems as far as alcohol being one of the concerns. And also, one of the effects could be another one is substance abuse. Drug and alcohol abuse not only affects the abuser, but also the life of a family member. And it affects it all different types of ways. Because even itself in life, I'm just saying, alcohol, I'm talking about substance abuse, when you get people that is on drugs, all different types of drugs, whether you be an abuser, whether you be the one soliciting drugs or anything, it affects the whole family. And unfortunately, we see it every day, things happening where people that's on drugs, substance abuse. I have known, even in my own family, I could attest to this, that because one of my relatives has been a substance abuse user, using drugs and selling drugs, dealing drugs, just by that, one of my family members, my uncle, ended up getting killed on the cause of his addiction, his lifestyle. So it affects the family all kinds of ways, not just the abuser, and it could be the end user, all kinds of people in your family, it just affects their substance abuse. And it's a family problem, conflict with partners, it could cause money problem, because you have people, same thing, dealing drugs, the substance abuse on family, they spend up all the money, they don't budget, they're not acknowledging God, for one thing, and that's one of the main key, when the root problem is with all of these attributes that I also talked about, the instability, the gambling, the alcoholism, now talking about the substance abuse, is because you have to be the foundation with God in our lives. That got to be the deliverance power of God to be in our lives. Because I'm telling you, you do have some people as Christians that have to live a holy life, have to live a godly life, that still have to be delivered and stay delivered from these addiction and stuff. Because even if you are born again believer and you had one time, God have freed you from that spirit or alcoholism or substance abuse, you have to be grounded and steadfast in the things of God, because that same spirit will try to come back and pull you into that. And you have to stay around positive people, positive surrounding, positive things in your mind, and positive things in the positive area to be strong. Because those demons are really strong. They try to call you fast in that, but they no demon stronger than the power of God that rests in any believer's life. Ain't no power stronger than the Holy Ghost. So I tested it, talking to the believers of that, and those that are not saved, we still praying and for the body of Christ and the people in the world to get saved and to get delivered from substance abuse. Because myself, I work at a mental health center, and I see different things and how substance abuse and drugs and things just take all the people's life and their mind, and how it just disrupts their whole family. And not only the person that is involved have mental challenges in their own life, it affects the whole family, and it affects everybody, because my heart goes out to people when God put me in that area, even to work the people in that capacity, so I can be able to feel what they're going to and have compassion, just as though Jesus had that same compassion for people who are in that area, in that situation, because there is always still hope. And also, the effects of family problems come from violence on children and domestic and family violence. You know, children go through a lot when they have in a home from the effect of family problems. Children are abused, neglected, mistreated. And when they're like that in a home of seeing violence that take place, a lot of times those children pick up the same attributes as their father, their parent, or their guardian, who they see displaying that kind of behavior of being violent. And if they tend to get older or whatever, they have the same aggressive spirit, and they somehow tend to show that same behavior on their spouse, on their loved one, the people they're around. And they see things going on, and they have a hard time adjusting. And same thing is family violence, the same thing when you have people, the husband and wife, fighting, and the children see that going on. And it's just a bad, like, water just run down from the head all the way down to the tail the same way. And it's been said, I have used this terminology myself one time in my life. I'm quite sure you have heard it been said that what stays in this house, what goes on in this house, stays in this house. But I tell you one thing, that could be said, but when that is tried and tried to be suppressed, that goes on in the house for no one to know what's going on, sooner or later, it will be exposed. It's going to come out one way or another in your life, in public or somewhere, will come out. Because it don't have to be like that, because there is help. There is help out there for people in situations like that, and no matter what your situation is. And also, you have family problems, they have the effect on students. You know, it affects students, children in school. Students become very stressed out. You know, they are unable to concentrate because their grades suffer too. You know, they can't keep their grades up. And you have seen, and if you have been aware of a child with a high IQ, a good academic grade, and all of a sudden you may see them, grades don't went down dramatically, and you're like, what happened? Something wrong. Believe me, something is going on with that child. That just don't happen. Just happen. It happens because something is happening, and they may not be sharing it, but something going on within that individual or something going on within inside that home, and it's just like same thing, and they don't tell people about it, but you can see it in their grades. Some of them, they just drop out, you know, and they are able to concentrate in class because they're thinking about what the problems at home, such as it could be the abuse, the violence, or it could be the substance abuse, the things they have to deal with and stuff. And you have the weight and the burden of family problems. It pressure down on children, so children have to somehow, in some way, they try to find a way of feeling like they have to be the parent. They have to be the one to cause the family to go on. And then, on the other hand, it could be it affect the child. They feel like, oh, I'm the problem. They think they're the problem because of the abuse going on or the violence and neglect and the drinking. See, it affects people all kind of way. It affects everybody in the family. But we have to just know, we have to just go and pray that problems happen. Problems happen with every family. And we just have to just know, and we just have to pray that Jesus Christ is the problem solver. So no matter what problem that anybody have in any family, it can be solved. And then we who are Christians, I'm speaking to the Christians now, we have to stand in the gap. And anything we believe God for according to his word, because God honor family. That's the beginning of the Bible, the word start with family. God love family, healthy families. And then you have the, like I say, you have the dysfunctional family and you got the healthy family. But even in a healthy family, we must know that they are not perfect. It's just that when a healthy family has problems or situations, they're able to deal with that problem, that situation after they're over with, they're able to bounce back, you know, to their normal daily life. You know, if they did live a healthy life, they keep going. But unfortunately, it don't happen like that. You got a dysfunctional family, sometimes they just let it overtake them, and that's when all the problems come in. But I'm just going to just thank God for the opportunity to speak to your lives and know today and let you know that, you know, the family instability, the gambling, the alcoholism, the substance abuse, the violence on children, domestic violence on families, and the students that go through problems, Jesus is the problem solver. And I just want to leave this scripture with you to give you hope and to give you determination to know that God is real and he cares about you and he cares about your family. And it coming from Isaiah 61:3, it say, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. And your Zion, I want you to let that be your household. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the tree of righteousness, than the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. In other words, you will have a good testimony. You will have a testimony in your family that all is well. So I'm going to leave it to you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and God has given you the power to choose. Choose to have a positive family. Choose to have a righteous family. And you can rejoice in it and be glad in it. God bless you until we meet again. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank Dr. Normill for giving us the effects of family problems. We're going to go right to preventing family problems. And we would like to welcome to the Crossroads broadcast Dr. Gloria Caster. Dr. Caster.
Good evening, Dr. McCoy and all of the panel and the radio audience. It's an honor and a privilege, and I thank God for the opportunity to come and bring you preventing family problems. And my thing is, before I can really tell you how to prevent family problems, I need to tell you what family problems, what brings in family problems. And as we were talking before, each one of the panels had spoke on dysfunctional, but I want to get just a little bit into that and just a little bit into the dysfunctional families that we all so have in the Old Testament and New Testament. But a dysfunctional family is a family which conflict, misbehavior, and often child neglect or abuse on the part of individual parent, which occurs continually and readily, leading other members to accommodate such action. Children, dysfunctional parents may emulate or sometimes overcorrect them from their own dysfunctional parents. They do things. In some cases, a childlike parent will allow the dominant parent to abuse their children. Or common misceptions of dysfunctional family is the mistaken belief that parents are on the verge of separation or divorce. While this is true in a few cases, often the marriage bond is very strong, as the parents' faults actually complement each other. In short, they have nowhere else to go, so they stay there. However, this does not necessarily mean the family's situation is stable. And many times we'll look at different families. Everything is going fine in that family because, like, we know for a fact some things are just hid behind the door. They say what stays, as our panelists were saying, what stays in this house does not leave out of the house. But we know that there are many times that things are going on behind closed doors. Now, dysfunctional families have, most of them have no social, financial, or intellectual bonds. Nevertheless, until recent decades, the concept of a dysfunctional family was not taken seriously by professionals like therapists, social worker, teachers, counselors, even clergy, especially among the middle and upper class. Any intervention would have been seen as violating the sanity of a marriage or increasing the probability of divorce, which was socially unacceptable at times. Now, dysfunction, let me give you a little example of a dysfunctional family. Members have common features and behavior patterns as a result of their experience with family structures. So we know that dysfunctional families can become a part of causing, preventing family problems. Any dysfunction, anything that is out of the norm or that causes the family to be torn apart in whatever way, it becomes a dysfunctional family. Now, if I touch a little bit on dysfunctional family in the Bible, if we look at Lot, Lot at one point offered his daughters to rapists. That is dysfunctional enough for you to know that there was incest. There was many things there that caused dysfunctional family. Even Isaac's family. Isaac loved his son Esau more than his other son, and Jacob. Rebecca loved Jacob more than Esau, and the mom and Jacob plotted against Esau and the daddy, and eventually Jacob had to run away. This is more dysfunctional than a family that has in any family that you look at. We can go all the way back in the Bible and see where dysfunctional family has been throughout the Bible and throughout our time now. Now, preventing family problems is, you can only do that by getting a family therapist, which is based on, family therapist bases preventing family problems on the belief that the family is a unique social system with its own structure and pattern of communication. These patterns are determined by many factors, including the parents' belief and values, the personality of all family members, and the influence of the extended family, like grandparents, aunts, and uncles. As a result, these values, each family develops its own unique way of how they bring the family together. And like Dr. McCall was saying, there was times that family, I mean, it says a family that prays together stays together. But family in back in olden time, they came together, they ate supper together on Sunday, they were all around the table and building relationships. You have to have relationships and build strong relationships in order to prevent family problems. There are going to be some problems in your family, but you do have to come together and do that. And the basis on, and I'm just going to touch a little bit on this, and then I'm going to give it back to Dr. McCoy, because I understand that next week we might can go in a little bit further. But the basis of family therapy, working with a therapist to solve problems, can take the place of an individual basis or in a group setting, which involves all members of family seeing a therapist. So we need, if there's dysfunction, if there's anything in a family that causes us to be separated in any kind of way, we need to come together as a family and see what we need to do to build that family unit. And that is the only way that we can come together, by putting God first, seeking him and his direction first, consulting him, and then finding where he's going to send us to build that family. Because family unit was the first unit that God really put together. And the devil's desire is to tear it apart in whatever way he can. Back to you, Dr. McCoy, because I understand our time is short.
Pastor, thank you so much for giving us that enlightenment on preventing family problems. And then we had Dr. Normill talked about the effects of family. Those family problems, how we can affect the family And then the Lord allowed me to talk about the Bible and family problems. And we are not finished. But we want you to tune in next Monday at 5 p.m. as we continue our conversation on family problems. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for all the things that you have done. Lord, we thank you, God, for being our high power, our deliverer. Thank you for being one that we can call on. God, the Almighty God. We thank you for being the Prince of Peace. God, always, we thank you for being the Alpha and Omega. Thank you for being the beginning and the end. Thank you for being our Creator. Thank you for creating man. Thank you, God, for giving us a right to the tree of life. And Lord, we thank you today. Lord, even as our listeners, God, are listening to the Crossroad broadcast, God, if there is any that are not saved, God, any that does not know you, ask their Lord and Savior. Ask the Lord even now. God, let them know, God, your word says that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. The word says that we shall be saved. I thank you, Lord God, because your word says in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, Father, no matter what there is, word or what they did in their life, God, let them know, Father God, that you came to seek and to save them that are lost. And today, God, that we present, God, in the name of Jesus, people that want to know your people that want to be saved. God, people, God, that want to come out of darkness into this marvelous life. So today, God, we pray, Father, eternal life to those that have said yes to your will and yes to your way. God, cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. Father, those that are sick with diseases in their body, God, we pray even now, God, that you will touch them. God, that you will cause your supernatural power, God, to be manifested in their lives. God, that they will know, God, that you are God and God all by yourself, that you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. God, let them know, God, that there is nothing too hard for you to do. God, even as you touched the woman that had the issue of blood, and God, I pray even now, God, that you will touch them. God, she had the faith to believe. God, even though the infirmity and the sickness and the money that she had to pay, God, yet she believed you. She said, if I could just touch the hem of this garment, that I will be made whole. So, Lord, we thank you right now for that faith, God, being manifested in their lives. God, no matter what city, whatever state that they're living in, they're listening to this broadcast, God, bless them and keep them this day and this hour. Well, you have been listening to the Crossroad broadcast. Again, we'd like to thank Dr. June Normio and Dr. Gloria Castor for being once again on the Crossroad broadcast. This has been your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. God bless you. Looking forward